That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live from a little twilighty outside. Hadn't quite got the sunrise off the mountains this morning, but we welcome you here this Saturday morning, October 14th, 2017, and got our brother Nick with us. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
And thanks again for joining us here, and we thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open here in a minute if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment. And we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, so we have the Holy Spirit with us as well, because he says that where two or more gather in his name, he is there also. So let's welcome him. Why don't we do that? Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit, we do that very thing. We welcome you. Thank you. And we say, come and join us today. We thank you for this beautiful day that's starting out, oh Lord, and we just ask for your blessings on it. Ask that you would be with Brother Nick and myself, and let us have a good morning of fellowship with each other, with you, with the remnant that are out there, Lord, as we look through your word and talk about, just kind of a round table, Lord, talking about the events of the day, Lord, how we read about them in your word, and how we apply your word to our lives today. And if we will do that, Lord, if we will do that as a people, that, Lord, it should bring us to repentance. Lord, I pray for that, for this nation. I pray for repentance, Lord. The signs are all about us, Lord. They are the signs of that great and terrible day of the Lord coming. Lord, we know that the signs that are here, from earthquakes to fires to hurricanes to shootings to, oh, you name it, Lord, that they are to awaken your people. That they are awaken your people and to turn them to repentance. Repentance from their sin, Lord. From the sin that is just in the land. That the people don't even know about anymore. But Lord, we pray that their eyes would be open. that, Father, your Holy Spirit would roll through this land like the wildfires rolling through California. They would awaken your people, Lord. Awaken them. Let them wake up, Lord. Let them clothe themselves with you, with your robe, Lord. Let them be clothed with Christ. And then let that repentance, Lord, let that repentance follow. Father, what a change we would see in this nation, and that's our desire. Father, guide and direct us this morning. We thank you for, just for each and everything, Lord, for our families. Lord, we thank you for our pastor that went before us, that paved the way, Lord, that built this ministry, Lord, certainly with your help on the foundation of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the good news to your people and to the world. Lord, strengthen us and help us as we continue to follow in those footsteps. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And it is getting a little lighter outside. Sunrise here at the Radio Ranch this morning, the 14th of October. Hope the rest of the country is having as good a weather as we are out here. It is just a beautiful fall. No tornadoes, no snowstorms, no hurricanes, just beautiful, beautiful weather, and we're sure thankful of that. We'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you're tuned in, if you want to give a call. And Brother Nick and I were talking, and Nick's out visiting. He's got a good reason to be out visiting Colorado right now. Married off a son.
Absolutely.
Married off a son. Gained a daughter yesterday.
Yes.
And, the family grows, and it was a beautiful thing. It really was.
Yes, sir. It sure was.
We've sure had a
privilege.
Enjoyed the time spending with Nick and his wife and his family, and I guess our families had known each other, what, Nick? 15, 16, 20 years, something like that.
I believe it's over 20 years, yeah. I believe it is.
And
back when you lived back east, I believe, is when it started, so.
Yes. Started with the prayer chain, didn't it? We were talking about that.
Absolutely,
families met each other through the Scriptures for America prayer chain, I believe.
That's right. It was through the telephone lines. We call on landlines and pass down the prayer chain. And if I remember right, we had your number to call, and that's how we first got acquainted.
How about that?
And I guess it picked up from there, and when we finally met two or three years later or something like that. And here we are yesterday sitting around the same table.
Amen.
Assigned seats, right?
Assigned seats.
Here we are around
right.
The same table with number three getting married. So
that's right.
It was awesome.
Yeah, we got to attend a great wedding banquet, and I was encouraged by the prayer that opened up the marriage banquet, and and the partaking of the food and the fun, because he likened it to the marriage banquet that we all yearn to go to, that is coming, and we want to have that invitation, and that's one of the reasons we continue on here. But it was beautiful, and folks, it's that is how life is. We make relationships with hopefully with like-minded people, and we certainly have here. I'm pretty excited that at least with us, that that this ministry has been a big part of that. So many people out there, they have their buddies they go to ball games with, and then they got their beer drinking buddies, and then they got their maybe their pool shooting buddies or their fishing or hunting buddies, and we just kind of have our it's our ministry. It's our ministry family. Might only see each other once or twice a year, hopefully more, but when you do, it's a quick remembrance, and and the friendships just grow.
And absolutely.
And it's been good. So, you know, folks, that was one of Pastor Peter's dreams, was to create a way for fellowship among the brethren. We are scattered from sea to shining sea. I know when I talk to people on the ministry that, you know, or, well, hey, do you have any fellowship down in Arizona? Do you have anybody, you know, in New Hampshire or Connecticut or, you know, anywhere that where our people are? And it's a tough thing. It is, but it's certainly not impossible. And we've seen some really good friendships and some families kind of grow up together. You know, over the last 20 years and more in this.
Yes. And that's what's encouraging, too. You see that kind of growth, and I think we've talked about it a few times before. Back in those early days, it was mostly just men coming without their wives to some of these meetings, and you started seeing a little bit later, maybe some bring their wives, and I guess people like us, we finally we're starting our families, and we'd bring them along, and we saw that growth over time, and
yes,
now these children in the ministry are marrying one another.
Yes,
so it's encouraging to see another generation starting off, and we certainly need that for growth. You do in anything, but especially when it's in the ministry, it's real encouraging. And you know, you talked about that man, I believe his name was Joe, that said the opening prayer. I didn't know him, but yeah, I was a little surprised, and I was very pleased that he likened that marriage supper to this wedding, and brought in the wedding feast and the kingdom coming in, and it was an awesome prayer.
Yes.
But then also the young man that gave a speech that was the best man. You know, he had some good scriptures he put in to his speech. It was really well written and well done, wasn't it?
It was.
That was encouraging. I don't know. I'm sure he's in his 20s and really had his head on straight and using the proper scriptures to fit what point he was making. And I know you gave him some encouraging words before the evening was over, and he really seemed to take that in, and was glad to hear that from you. And when I saw that too, that's part of building that kingdom. Again, you know, you took a little time and talked to that young man, and it encouraged him. You could see it. He you know, of course he was happy at the time and all that, of course, but you could just see that level bump up a little bit when you spoke to him there and encouraged him, and
well, it was sure.
The young couple was really
it was,
bumped,
you know,
up a little bit. You know,
they were, and you know, when you saw them, they were the co-best man and matron of honor, and you know, they are not part of our church. You know, they are friends.
Right.
They are friends, but see, they're the right friends, and
yes,
that was encouraging. That here are these 20-year-olds in their early 20s that have the right friends. And those are the right friends to have, the ones that are sure gonna give a speech at your wedding and come and enjoy and share in the festivities, but with the right perspective, you know, with
absolutely.
And it is encouraging to me that in amongst all the heartache and the sorrow, the times that we're in, the shootings and the tough times. And we are in, I believe we are in these last days. The Bible talks about, when the Bible talks about the heart of man will grow cold. Well, that, you know, for the most part, that's where we're at. But God has his remnant. He has his remnant in this ministry, and he has remnant, part of his remnant that we don't know. but that we see in places like this, and they sure were. It was encouraging to see this young couple married, this young married couple that are God honoring in their lives. And I know this new couple that was married will be the same way, because they've been God honoring in their lives before they were married, and that will grow and continue. So it is an encouragement. You know, Nick, you mentioned early on in when we came into the ministry, I remember the first gathering we went to, and we had a couple of children, and of course they're married with children now. That's hard to wrap my mind around that sometimes, but I remember attending the first ones, and we were the only, there were about 60 or 70 people there, and we were the only family, the only, there were a few husbands and wives, but we were the only people there with children. And the first couple of meetings that we went to was down in Florida, and it was that way. And slowly, we at least in that area, I know for years, Pastor would have the big family Bible camps out here, and you know, have hundreds and families and children and all that. But I know the first couple meetings we went to, it was just, you know, we thought that you know, we were attending a senior citizens rally, and we just happened to bring our family. But it's changed. It's changed over the last, you know, 20 plus years. And I am encouraged that yes, our children have grown up in this. Are they perfect? No, they're no more perfect than we are.
That's right.
But we've laid a good foundation. This ministry has allowed that. God in His mercy has allowed that, and we sure got to see that last night. It was quite an encouragement. Well, folks, we don't want to talk the whole time. We've got the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If out there, if you want to give a call in, and well, Nick, you going to hang around for Sunday? I was hoping.
Yeah, I believe we are.
Good. Hopefully, we'll see you guys there at church. You know, folks, we have church on Sunday morning at the LaPorte Church of Christ. We broadcast that out so you can watch it from your home if you are scattered about. That was another thing that Pastor came up with for fellowship, to be able to for the remnant out there to be able to fellowship and have church services and not have to compromise and maybe go down to a local Judeo-Christian church just for that, or just for some music, or just for communion. And I remember back in the day when Pastor came up with the idea, that it just fell into place, and we were streaming live church services in the early days, before just about anybody else was doing any type of live streaming, short of the news or the weather. Certainly, you know, there were many churches that were, they would record their, you know, their services, and then run them down, record them on a big 3/4-inch tape, and then run them down to the TV station or the public broadcasting station and play it back. But streaming it live, because I remember going to some of the religious broadcasters' conventions and even the big broadcaster conventions in places like Vegas and things like that, and talking to people in the industry. And the first couple of years, nobody else was live streaming. Like I said, the news shows was it. They were live. And everything else, especially on our small scale, was not that way. But anyway, so I just say that, folks, to encourage you, to remind you, if you're not familiar, that you can go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and tomorrow morning, starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern, you can join us for church, and we'll have something for everybody. It'll be some truth. You may not like it, but it'll be some good biblical truth. And so, well, I'm glad to hear that, Nick. I'm sure glad that you are gonna. You guys do get to stay, hang around for another couple days, and that'll sure be enjoyable.
Absolutely, I know it will for us, and yeah, that's the plan. But yeah, talking here, it just thing that keeps kind of coming to mind is it's building blocks, the examples we're using here, and just like the growth we've seen in our past, like you said, when it's spreading out to others and a little bit here, a little there, it's encouraging to see that growth. And another thing that came to mind earlier, when you talked about the young ones and the friends they have, especially the ones outside the ministry, and it is encouraging when you see that they have some good friends like that. But it reminds me of a saying that I used to say quite a bit to my children, and it goes like this. You probably heard it. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And, you know, that's a good little quick line to throw out there. And, of course, when they hear that a few times from Dad, you know, they remember it, just like I remembered it.
Yes.
When I was younger. And, you know, those little things stick with you. You know, we think a lot of times, especially when we're younger in the ministry, you know, we want to give a big sermon to everybody we're talking to, and that usually doesn't work very well, does it?
You know, it doesn't. It many times it doesn't.
No.
People see more than they hear. You know, they do. They see our lives. They see how we act and what we do or don't do. And
right.
That makes usually as big or bigger an impact than what we do say. And
I believe it does.
And then our, you know, hopefully our words are backing up our actions. That right. Certainly applies, I think, with our children, because
yeah, absolutely.
You know, if
they can spot a hypocrite quicker than anybody.
That's right.
Can't they?
That's right. The old, you know, do as I say and not as I do. That just, I mean, that might work a time or two, but it doesn't hold water for the long run. And
no,
you know, we see in these children's marriages. Here in the ministry, that that they have been given good examples in their parents, and they've done their best to follow them.
And, yes. It's encouraging to see that.
It is. It is. And in the days again, the days that we live. It is encouraging. It was last night. That was sure a blessed time. And I talked with our brother Tim out of Nebraska, and his oldest son got married here just a week or two ago, and we talked about that a little bit. And it rays of sunshine is what I think. I see the sun peeking up behind the barn out here now, and. And that's what I see. It is encouraging for this to see this next generation. You know, marriage seems to be on the way out, just in society, which will bring about is certainly a leading cause, or it'll bring about the fall of society. You know,
yeah.
Trying to be like everybody else, and these sexual sins that are so rampant. But it's not everybody. And it's not everywhere.
No, it's not.
There are still some that that know that marriage is an honorable institution, that marriage is between one man and one woman, that marriage is for a lifetime, and that they're willing to do that, to say, you know, hey, the husband's honoring the wives, and the wives honoring the husbands. And so it is. It's sure encouraging for me to see that. It is not a lost cause.
No, it's not.
And I think of the examples, you know, that other people see. You know, There were a lot of young people there last night, and they heard some, between the ceremony and the prayers, they heard some good scriptures, some good preaching. They saw some good examples.
Yes.
And those are seeds planted. And that, to me, that is Christianity. That's what
Absolutely.
God intended. You know, Christianity is not just to be locked up in our church on Sundays, but it's to be
Absolutely.
Lived. And even amongst the festivities last night, it was lived. It
yep.
really was.
Yes, it was. Now, I know, you know, to me, all that sums up to kingdom building.
Yes.
You know, just like the opportunity you had with that young couple. I think they said they were married just a little over a year. And, you know, you put out some encouragement to them and just told them the truth. But you could tell that really, really lit them up and encouraged them. And those little things, I believe, really stick with them. And like you said, they see the examples around. And, of course, they were well-behaved young couple, you know, and all that adds up to building the kingdom. And
yes.
Hopefully they'll, I'm sure they will, carry those same values when they have children. So that's exactly what it takes, and Christians out there doing their duty day by day.
Amen.
And, you know, the ones that are supposed to see it, have eyes to see and ears to hear, they're going to pick it up and go with it.
Yes.
So we just have to be there doing our duty and be ready at the right opportunities. And you know, so yeah, there were several things like that. And like you mentioned during the ceremony and the prayers that were offered up, there was a lot of good seeds out there. There's a lot of really good truths being put out, and it was just all part of the what a marriage ceremony should be.
Yes. Yes, it was.
There was plenty there that got to hear it.
It was. Well, there's, boy, it'd be great to have one of those every day, wouldn't it? You know, get all dressed up, go to a beautiful place, and just all fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And enjoy, and the boy looking out in the land, it's sure not that way. California.
No.
Still being just ripped by wildfires. Updates, over 5,700 homes and businesses destroyed. Santa Rosa, I don't know how much of Santa Rosa just got burned to the ground over the last few days. But just, I saw some pictures that were just devastating. I think I'm going to share a couple of those tomorrow morning with a little review of the news and just touch base on this. Don't want to get too deep into it, but they've got over 9,000 firefighters that are out there. Still have over 17 wildfires, over 90,000 people evacuated from areas ahead of the fire, and you know, we have had a few fires, and you know, we've mentioned it before. I've got a couple boys that go out and do that, you know, volunteer and get out and fight on these fires, and of course they pay them when they have to go out, you know, like to California. These latest fires out here, I mean, even the people that are out there, you know, they're using terms like the biggest, most serious fires that we've had. That's from the governor. Catastrophic. Devastation is enormous. Things like that. You know, things that we really... and I remember our pastor preaching on the fires in California probably 15 years ago, because they were burning then. And it's like maybe they haven't got the hint. Is what it seems like. You know, in our Bible reading plan this week, we're reading kind of through the minor prophets, and Micah was yesterday, and a couple things that jumped out of me about Micah was here in verse 2, let the Lord God be a witness against you. And this is for the rebellion of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. And it goes on and just talks about verse 7, her idols will be smashed, her earnings will be burned with fire. Verse 4, like wax, the valleys will be split like wax before the fire. And it just seems like we're seeing these things happening. Now, whether they continue or not, I think it depends on if the people are going to repent or not.
Yeah, it seems to be, and like you said, some of it's happened before. Seems to be more frequent and sometimes more severe, but we just need to continue on and pray for them when the time's right.
Amen.
And see what the Lord's going to bring us, right?
Amen. Amen. Well, again, folks, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call in. It's the coffee program on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, coming to you live from... It's a sunny radio ranch now. That sun is getting up, and it'll be burning this frost. We had pretty good frost last night, and had a good frost when we got back home last night. But looking out over the roofs and the cars, it's that time of year. It really is. It really is. They could sure use some of this frost out there in California, but they just aren't getting it. It's simple as that. They just aren't. They just aren't. Boy, saw some current events. One thing, Nick, you're from Illinois. Saw a little thing in the headline. Even in Illinois, a concealed carry woman held off an attacker. Attacker jumps in her car and slashes her in the arm. And who knows what he was planning. But she's able to pull out her concealed carry pistol. Chase him off. Probably kept her alive.
Absolutely.
Probably saved her life. And
yes.
And they arrested him. And I know that happens all the time, but not reported.
Yes.
But not reported.
Yeah, you don't hear. You don't hear too much on those stories. They don't publicize them too much, but I think with this social media today, it just gets out a lot more. Most of the public ends up hearing about it anyway, so that's a double-edged sword the enemy has to deal with, too. And like you said, even in Illinois, and mainly it's what's coming out of Chicago. They're the ones that try to squelch these laws on guns. And we just attended a wedding about 3 weeks ago up that way, and we had about a 4.5-5 hour drive, and this was still west of Chicago, so it was out at a vineyard, and it was a real nice setting for a wedding too. It was a neighbor of ours that's the boy's age that grew up there, and he's up by the Wisconsin line. But one thing you'll notice is you don't get too far out of Chicago and Cook County there, and it's just nothing but farmland all the way down, so people don't they're not heard from too much outside of Chicago in the national news, So you get the slant just like you do everywhere else. It's a big city news, and most of the state is agriculture, and a lot of good people, you just don't hear much of that side of it, but seems like more and more it is getting out. So Lord's still got his ways to get the truth out, doesn't he? It's there to be found if people want to find it.
Yes. I think the hurricane, Hurricane Harvey rolling into Texas was a good example of that. You hear so much about how backwards those in the South are, and you know, how the media has just blasted how, they talk about, it's just a race war, and all the blacks hate all the whites, and all the whites hate all the blacks, and that's mm-hmm. kind of the what you seem to get if all you ever do is watch the mainstream media. But the truth came out, and when there was a when there was a flooding and problems, life issues, people pulled together. People really did. Again, that was true Christianity. You know, taking another. You know, being concerned with others, about others, and that is one of the marks of Israel. That that many people don't realize that the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic people have always had, and you know, a concern for others. You don't see that in the other races, and I mean, that's, you want to call it racist,
well, you
call it whatever you want to, but it's just a fact. It doesn't mean the other peoples aren't good people. It doesn't mean that they can't have the blessings of God and follow Jesus Christ, and it doesn't mean any of that. It's just facts are facts, and we just really saw a huge outpouring with, just like we see when there's an earthquake or something in Mexico, and we send tons down, or anywhere else, any of the islands, you know, many people don't know, you know, our country has these mercy ships, they call them. And I didn't serve in the military, so I don't know all the details about them, but they're basically floating hospitals. And full of, you know, food and water and necessities like that. And they're down in the islands right now, you know, helping clean up and providing food and water and the medical care that they can't provide for themselves. You don't hear much about that. You know, that's not near as interesting as, you know, old Weinstein in Hollywood, you know, molesting women. That's not, what'd he do? Let's look that up. Oh, where? Let me flip my page. What'd he do? I want to read all the juicy details. That's the sin that is permeating the land today. But the true Christianity, just like you said, Nick, you know, you see the big city news, and you think that, you think that Illinois is just, and many of the other states, is just, it's that way here in Colorado. You get the big news out of Denver, and that really does not reflect the majority of the people in Colorado. And I know it's right. Like that with Illinois as well. The news that you get out of Chicago is really just Chicago, and probably even then it's just a select few.
And you factor in that's the agenda they want to promote. They know they have considerable power through the big media, and that's waning as well, but. Just like you said before, if you watch the news, you would just think that whites and blacks are at each other's throats, and it's really not that way, but they want it that way.
Yes.
That's why they continually bombard us with those stories, and like you said, you see the fruit of it when there is some disaster. Good people just pull together, help one another, and they're not there to take credit for it, and they're doing it because they love their neighbor. And you know, it's almost like the national media, anyway. It's like they're disappointed when people pull together and do it themselves, and not sitting around whining, waiting for the government to come in and help them. You know, and I find that a little funny. You know, you can just tell they're disappointed when people pull together, especially these hurricanes of late. You know, they weren't delighted about it. like the rest of the people were. You know, they still wanted the conflict, but that's how they've got to live on that conflict, and they know it, and they know if people bite into the narrative there that it'll help weaken us, and that's their goal. They want to weaken the true Israelites, and boy, they sure come at us every way they can, don't they?
They do. That's what the enemy does.
But the Lord's laughing at me.
He is.
Absolutely.
He is. That's what it says. He sits in the heavens and laughs, man. You know, the enemies of God make their plans, and the enemies of God's people make their plans. When we stay true to the path we're on, when we stay true to the, you know, those good plans, like Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the good plans I have for you. When we stay with those plans, because God's plan is always better than ours.
Absolutely.
You know, it always is. And when we can yield to His plan and do our best to strive for that narrow gate that we're told to do, things work out better. And we are protected. Yeah. We are saved. Not only from our sins, but from the hands of those who hate us.
Absolutely.
You know, our plan was to have two children. I think back that when I'd had my first, we'd had our first son, and we were making plans. We'd been married, a few years, 3 or 4 years, and our plans were Diane to keep working and my wife to keep working, and you know, we'd have a couple children and they could go into daycare. We'd find, you know, maybe a little. A little church community or a private school. We know we didn't want to put them in public school, but something, because that's what everybody else did. Everybody else had a couple children, put them in daycare, and went to work. And, you know, and praise God that there was somebody praying. There was somebody praying back then.
Absolutely.
And and praying for us. I don't know who
Absolutely.
They were, but I sure am thankful that somebody was, and
absolutely,
and we were introduced to this.
But we were doing a little counting last night, weren't we?
We were.
I think there was a time we were doing a little counting, and we counted pretty far above two for you.
but that was our plan. So. Well, God had different plans. You know? God had plans to bless us with 9 children. And
absolutely,
He almost blessed you just as much, Nick.
Yeah, close.
And you know I'm kidding. You know what I mean
absolutely.
By that. But you know, God's plans are better. Now, does that, you know, has life been perfect? No. Life's not perfect. Life is hard. It's tough. It's work. It's get up and do your best, and sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail, but you get up and do it again. And
absolutely.
You know, that's what I've come to realize is that that's the, at least for me, I mean, that's the Christian walk, the Christian life that that God expects of me. Get up and do it again tomorrow. Try to do a little better. You know, learn. And
those children see that too.
They do. They do. And
more building blocks.
And God's plans are always better. They really are. You know, we just, again, our Bible reading plan, we had Jonah this week. I talked about that on Thursday night. You know, God's plans was for Jonah to go down to this evil, wicked, sinful Assyrian people. They weren't even Israelites. And tell them they had 40 days till he was going to wipe them out. And that was God's plan. Jonah tried to have another plan. He didn't like that. Well, he got persuaded. And
yes, he did.
You know, he didn't just die in the belly of that great fish. It said that's where he prayed. And
yes.
And you know, sometimes we find ourselves in that, sometimes in the belly of that fish. Sometimes, you know, we have things that are not comfortable for us to do at times. We just have to do them. You know, whether it's you know, job related or family related, we have to stay in the battle and fight that enemy. And it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy.
No.
It's like, well, Lord, I think I'll just go this way. This way looks a little easier. You know, that's what Jonah was doing. Oh, this would be a little easier going
Absolutely.
This way. But it was getting outside of God's plans, and His plans are best. And you know, the story of Jonah, you read it, it's really a great story. It's, you know, God spared those people because they repented. You know, there should be so much more taught on the book of Jonah, how God spared the Assyrians. And it was a couple of generations there. I mean, Nineveh, I think 100 years later, Nineveh was wiped out because those people in that generation, you know, did not continue honoring and worshiping God. And they turned back to how they were before.
It just shows the grace of God even more through a story like that. And to me, you know, here was a nation where their sins reached the heavens, and God said, all right, they got 40 days left, they're getting wiped out. And, you know, here a heathen king humbles himself, you know, puts the word out, puts the law out in the land.
Yes.
You know, that we're going to put ashes on our head and wear sackcloth, and you know, that turned the Lord. And you know, how much more would He do it for us?
Amen. Amen.
You know, another thing that came to mind too, quite a while back, that I believe is one of the best things this ministry's ever done, was put out that Bible reading plan. As I've seen, and I know in my own life, you know, the more you're in that Word, the more you're focused on that truth, and less likely you are to be deceived, too.
Yes.
And I've seen some testimonies, you know, on YouTube videos, this and that, and people that have admitted they got caught up in whatever deception out there, and it's usually some type of religious deception. But time and again, what brought them out of it was they said they got back into the Word.
Yes.
Because they got off on this vein or that, and their mistake was they got out of the Word. And they said, that's what, you know, then when they realized they were off course, they said, well, I got back in the Word like I used to be. And that showed them the truth and brought them back out of it, you know. So when I heard some of those testimonies, I thought, wow, you know, that's really true, and that's just gives me encouragement that, hey, keep on this Bible reading, and keep taking it in. And even when there's days you don't feel like it, or you don't think you have time, you make the time, and it'll sure pay off.
Amen. It does.
And,
it is a worthwhile investment. It really is. It is a worthwhile investment. You know, here we're in Nahum today. Here, you know, Micah from yesterday. I've got it marked in my Bible here. Micah 4 talks about the United States. You know, many times we've had people over the years, well, where does the Bible doesn't talk about the United States and this type of thing, but, you know, it really does. I encourage you, you know, read Micah 4. That was yesterday's Bible reading plan, about him assembling the lame and the outcasts and making them a remnant. But it talks about going to Babylon, and that's where that's where we're at. You know, God's done His part, and you know, unfortunately, we've done our part. We've turned away from that good, from that good that's been given to us, and we have gone back to Babylon. But the good news there says that's where we're rescued. That's when and where
that's
we're rescued.
Right.
You know, Micah 6. Verse 8 says, He's told you, oh man, what is good. So you want to know what's good? You want to know what to do out there? And what does the Lord require of you? You want to know? You can read it right here. You can hear it. I'll tell you. It says, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And you know, that just about sums up the Ten Commandments and everything else right there. And we see that time and time and time again. The Ten Commandments weren't new. They'd always been there.
No.
Tithing wasn't new. It had always been there. When Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That wasn't new. You read about that back in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Christ just put it in new words. We see the same thing here. Do justice. And that is what God requires. He requires justice. That's why he says so many times that the unjust weights and balances, how that is an abomination to him. Because it prevents justice. And that doesn't mean just in, buying and selling grain and or a gallon of gas. But it's in everything that we do. He requires and demands justice. To love kindness. We miss that sometimes. Kindness. And I like this here. I've got a New American Standard. And it's a reference Bible. And that word kindness has a footnote by it. And kindness, it has loyalty as kindness. How about that? To love kindness. And it footnotes it, or loyalty. To be loyal. To be loyal. Not only loyal to God, but to our fellow man. That's part of it, but certainly mainly to God.
Yes.
But how about this? Husbands, be loyal to your wife. And wives, be loyal to your husbands. And children, be loyal to your parents. You get long life that way. Honor your parents, that your days may be long and full. Here's this right here in the middle of Micah. And walk humbly with your God. Isn't that why God created Adam? Was to walk with him in the garden, to show off his creation to him. And when Adam walked humbly with God, life was good. Life was good. I agree with you, Nick. I think that this Bible, these Bible reading plans, it's nothing. We've gotten them from other places and kind of. Worked on them and tweaked them and had some different ones but it is a great tool to have us draw nearer to God and I'd rather do that because I want to not because I have to. I don't want to draw nearer to him because I'm seeking comfort and solace and with heart-wrenching pain that can only be comforted by him. Now, I know there's times that we do that, but I'd rather be seeking him and drawing near to him now, in the good days, in the good times.
That's what he wants, too.
That is what he wants. It is. And then those storms are easier to weather. They really are. They're easier to ride out and easier to get through. Because we know we're not alone. We know that we have that blessed assurance that he's there with us.
That's right.
A beautiful wedding last night, and God was praised in that wedding. And in the lives of the people that we saw there, right, he was honored. And that's pleasing to him. That puts a smile on our Father's face. I really think it does.
I do too. And back to the Bible reading. There used to be, we would say, the Catholics don't read their Bible, and it's true. The modern day Roman Catholics, by and large, they don't know the Scripture very well. They rely on the priesthood, and sad to say, I see that more and more in the Protestant world. I know you and John have talked about a little Bible breakfast club you belong to, and I go to one periodically. It's pretty far from home, but if I'm out that way, I'll stop in there, and that's the one glaring problem is, the men, by and large, they love the Lord, and they've got a draw there, but they don't know the Scriptures, and there's usually maybe one or two in there that they've got a pretty good handle on it, and not that I'm some expert on it myself, but it just goes to show, you know, over time, they continue to neglect it. They don't know the word. They don't know where to apply it to a practical place in their life. And they're astonished when you can just show them one simple truth that they'll apply to their everyday life and said, hey, you know, this is what a lot of it's about. And just like the things you're talking about with loyalty, kindness, the Lord sees those things. You know, we get this mindset probably because of, you know, the mega churches and the broadcasts they put out, and we get to thinking, well, if we're not doing these great things that are all visible to people, that, you know, we're not getting some great reward, and nothing could be further from the truth, could it?
No, it couldn't.
You know, it's the day-to-day things and how you're treating your neighbors, and like you said, the justice and the just weights and balances, the Lord sees it all.
He does.
And if he sees a heathen king repent and it turns his hand of wrath away from him, he sure sees every little act that we do. And that, hey, you know, he sees the good too. So we can, you know, he's no respecter of persons. That's a good one to apply it to as well. You know, we tend to think one way when we hear that phrase. And but he sees a little everyday, day-to-day actions, and he's rewarded to the good, isn't he?
He is. He is. And his word says throughout it that he doesn't even desire the wicked to die, but to repent.
Right.
Now, you know, you have to have a little discernment there. You know, Goliath was not going to repent. And he was dealt with appropriately. And we have Goliaths in our day. We have those that aren't going to repent, and they need to be dealt with appropriately. That's biblical. It's not that God desires it, but he desires righteousness. And he will have it. That's why it says, you know, when Christ comes back again, he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He already did that. It says when he comes again, it's apart from sin. See, that's already been done with. And when he comes back again, it is to rule and reign with a rod of iron, it says. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no if you want to, or you know, you can choose this or choose that. No, it's his reign,
his way.
Rule,
yep.
His way, and it's a good way. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Nick, we are out of time. Thank you so much for getting up this morning. I know it was a late night last night, but thank you so much for getting up and joining us. And our other men are just had some meetings this morning they had to attend to, and just kind of wrapping things up, but. Folks, we thank you for joining us. Nick, I thank you for joining us. And remember, you can join us again tomorrow for church. We ask, you know, we'll invite you to come join us. 8:30, we'll start 8:30 in the morning Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 on the East Coast. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. We will. Well, Nick, brother, thanks again, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Richard.
All right. Thanks.
Rolling, 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 stay high. Country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them.
just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.